I was glad when they said I could come into the house of the Lord, whatever that looks like, wherever that is. Some of us are here, some of us at the beach, some are in the mountains, but wherever we are and we beseech God, it's church, right? Thank you for being here today. These lovely flowers are here in honor of Lindsay and Cameron Jones by Scott and Melissa, who are in the mountains. It is very sad, if you've not yet heard, that sweet Billy Sigmund passed away. I think she couldn't live without Pete, because now they're together again, dancing and singing, and her telling him, come on, come on, come on. We're not quite sure when the funeral is. We're thinking it will be next Monday at 2, but please be listening to the call for you to know. Please be in prayer for all of the family and all of we who will really miss the wonderful person and inspiration she was. So we, until rally day on September the 12th, Jason will be teaching a Sunday school class. All of the adults, or those who want to identify as adults, will meet in room 113, and you can join them. Friday night was the first night of Bible school. It will continue, and David's going to give a quick announcement.
What I want to make sure everybody knows is if you missed the first Friday night this past week, we still have two more Friday night sessions this coming and the first Friday in August. So please spread the word that even if you miss one session, you're not going to be behind. You're not going to be, you can join right in as we go forward. We have start off with a meal. We have Bible study, we have crafts and games, and had a really good time this past Friday. So please spread the word to anybody that's not here that you can think of. And the email vbs@cookschurch.org for all of the registration information, or call the church office and you can be guided through it. So please spread the word and invite people to come this coming Friday.
Ages
4 to 12. And from 13 and up, we're for the youth, we're, you know, we use the help. So we had some good help this past time, and you know, it goes a long way helping with the crafts and the games especially. So spread the word. Thank you.
That's good, because good help is hard to find, as you're hearing regularly now. If you'd like to see how festive it is, you can stroll into the fellowship hall after worship today and see how inviting it is. And please do encourage children to attend and teenagers to help. Today, at the closing hymn, we'll collect 10 cents a meal. The box is right there, or you can put your envelopes in the offering plate, but make sure it's marked, please. August 1st and 8th, there's going to be a school tools collection. You can see those listed. Petey, are you doing that? Do you know, you want to say anything about it, where it's going?
We haven't decided yet. I need to talk to you.
Oh, all right. So we're doing a school collection of tools. See it there. Part of the importance of knowing now is that there'll be sales going on, and one would not want to inappropriately spend their money, get it on sale. There is non-perishable food items being collected. They really need cereal, peanut butter and jelly, 100% fruit juice, not the sugar stuff, canned meat, vegetables, and pastas, no glass containers. It also helps if you have pop-off lids, because some folks don't have can openers. You can bring the donations into the red barrels that you see. Are there any other announcements? Anything anyone needs to say? I will say for the service, you're going to need to be near someone because you're going to have to talk to someone. And so at the first hymn, you may want to get closer to another individual, at least an arm's length away.
Praise the Lord. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars. He gives all of them their names.
Praise the Lord, abundant in the power. His understanding is beyond measure.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for changes in rhythm in our life. Thank you, God, for your love and compassion. Thank you for people such as Miss Billy, who was so giving and kind and always happy with a smile for anyone she met. Today, as we come into a time of worship, help us get rid of the worries that we're thinking of. Help us concentrate on what you would have us to be this hour. Amen. tells us that if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, God is always faithful and just, that's a little worrisome, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, wrongdoing, the ills that we bring upon ourselves due to our humanness. Let's enter into a time of confession. Let's pray. Eternal God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We've lived ourselves and turned from our neighbors. We've refused to bear the trouble of others. We've ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. O God, in your great mercy, forgive our sin and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. By the waters of baptism, we've been eternally claimed and loved by God. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. If you'd like to come for the children's time, please join us on an X. Thank you for those donations, and thank you for being here. And an X doesn't have to be on the floor, Grandma. It's all right. It's good. He wants to sit by you. It's good, right?
He's been sitting there.
But he's happy today there. Hey, guys, thank you for being here. So how many more weeks before school starts?
Zero.
We never count that down, do we? We count how many days to out, how many days to Christmas, how many days to our birthday, but not so much how many days to school starts. Except teachers do. They count that down. When I taught, I counted it down because I was like, oh, I don't want to go back to school. Even as a teacher, you don't want to go back to school. All right, so today is the last Sunday of the month. In the last Sunday of the month, we collect a special offering up front in the last hymn. And that offering is called the 10 cents a meal offering. Now, we've talked about that before. Does anybody remember what that offering is used for? Yes, sir. It's used partly. It goes to shelters and such to help people who don't have meals. So it goes to the meals for the homeless. Down the road a piece, there's things growing in our community garden. How does 10 cents a meal in the past helped our community garden? Do you remember that? It helped them to get more seeds, yes. It also helped them to buy utensils, hoes, rakes, shovels. So you're right. 10 cents a meal is an offering the Presbytery collects, and it gives those monies through grants to daycares, to homeless shelters, to community gardens, to groups that teach people how to do something with the garden that they've grown, how to can and freeze. So it is an ongoing ministry. A long time ago, it used to be 5 cents a meal. Why do you think they changed it to 10 cents a meal? There's more people needing it. And what else? There's a word that starts with I, inflation. What is inflation about? Prices going? Yeah. Do food prices ever really go down? Not so much. So because of that, they decided we need to call it 10 cents a meal. Do you think someday it'll go to a quarter a meal? Yeah, probably soon. 10 cents a meal helps people. It helps feed them. It helps teach them how to feed themselves. It helps children who wouldn't have lunch so much, but at a day program, they now have lunch. 10 cents a meal is a way to reach out and minister to others. So I just want us to remember what 10 cents a meal is about and how our congregation has benefited and continues to benefit and continues to give. Now, tell me a creature that says, who?
An
owl. And how do we usually define an owl? A wise old owl. Do y'all have owls in your neighborhoods?
We have one.
I have one behind my house, and it doesn't know when bedtime is.
Ours either.
Yes, see, that's a problem, isn't it? Because
you
don't either, so it doesn't matter. Well, today we're going to talk about who, not so much the owl, but about who, and I'm going to ask you to write some things, so be ready for that. Let's pray. Thank you, God. For 10 cents. And the 10 cents we can give to help others. Amen. I would be remiss if I didn't say a special thanks to Josh for being here and helping in our music program today. We are greatly appreciative of you. The one thing you can bank on is you're going to get out early today. If you complain, we could stay later, but I don't think that's going to happen. As you go out today, make sure you tell Don happy birthday. He was only 21 this week. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the teachings of your word and the teachings of those who've gone before us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to be your faithful servants. And as we prepare to look into your teachings and your scripture, help us to center on the words you have for us. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
So you're going to need a pen or something with which to write. And you have a piece of paper to write on. We'll get out early if we do our lessons. Everybody located that? Who? Three-letter word. Who? I'd like you, in the next few minutes, to jot down 10 answers to who you are. 10 answers, 10 items, 10 snippets of who you are. And if you're watching on Facebook, you should be doing this also. Okay, now turn to someone sitting near you and ask them to tell you three things of who you are. And you do the same to them. And if you're watching on Facebook, do this. Ginger and Byron, you can be doing this also. Okay, hold on to this information because we are going to return to it later. The verses that Jenny read for us tell us who we are. Who are we? What do those verses tell us we are? What do they?
Believer.
What does it tell us also? Who created us? The image of God. We are created in the image of God. We are creations. We were intentionally and lovingly created. Did anybody write on their 10 list that they were a creation of God? Maybe we ought to add it. Throughout the Bible, people have been identified as who they are and whose they are. The main way we see this is through genealogy. They didn't even have the Mormons and their bank of computers, but the Bible could do the genealogy. The one we remember most is in 1st of Matthew's. In that chapter of Matthew's 1, there is a very long genealogy of Jesus. The importance of that was to prove the fulfilling of the scripture. The intrigue to me also is the genealogy is in the Old Testament in that we start with Moses and go forward with people. And in Sunday school, you learned about the genealogy and whose son had whose kids and on and on and on. Why is that important? Why is genealogy important? Today, if I were in Fayette, Alabama, at Pilgrim's Rest Baptist Church, it's Decoration Day and Homecoming, fourth Sunday in July. It's ingrained in you. It's the church my mom was raised in. It's the church my grandfather preached at. It's the church my mom and dad were married at. And it's the church's cemetery where four generations of my mom's family are now resting. If I were there today, I would not be Sheila. I would be Ermine's daughter and Charlotte's niece. I'm sure that you have had similar experiences, that you, even today, no matter how old we are, somebody identifies you as whose you are. It's important to remember whose we are. Whose we are earthly and whose we are heavenly. So, on your list of 10 things of who you are, did you include whose you are, that you are the daughter and son of? In John 19, we read, I have to play trombone, excuse me a minute, because my eyes seem to be not as they once were. Jesus is near the cross. Jesus is on the cross, and near the cross is his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. Jesus sees his mom and the disciple whom he loved. And he says to his mom, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he says to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus regularly emphasized the importance of family. We read that through his teachings. Who are your adopted parents? Who have you taken into your home? Who have you opened your home to and treated those people as your parent or your child? I know Emily and Shelton over the years have taken college students who played ball into their homes as their children. Others of you have taken strangers into your homes. So who you are is someone who is welcoming. Who you are is someone who has an open home. Who you are is someone who follows God's commandments to take care of the wayfarers. In the Old and New Testament, people are identified by their job or their career. David was a herder. Rahab was a businesswoman. Many of the disciples were fishermen. Levi and Zacchaeus were tax collectors. In our world today, we often identify who we are by our work. Who are you? Well, I'm yada, 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 and I do this and that and the other. On your list, did you write who you were by your career? People in the Bible are also identified by their size, which I find intriguing. There's wee Zacchaeus, and I won't ask us to sing the song today. There are large people, and there are even giants listed in the Bible. People are identified by their attitudes or who they are. There is Doubting Thomas. Imagine going through your life being called Doubting Thomas. People are identified by their willingness to leave their family and go to a foreign land and foreign culture, which is what Ruth chose to do when she left her comfort of her home to go with her mother-in-law to a strange country. When have you identified who you are by such as that? By either your size, your attitude, your belief or non-belief, or by your willingness to let go of who you think you are and voyage out to an area that's really a little bit frightening and unnerving and totally out of your comfort zone. People are identified by their nationality. The Samaritan woman, we don't know her name. We just know she was a Samaritan woman. People are identified by their illness. Those who are blind, those who are demon-possessed, those who have leprosy, even those who are dead. The father who came saying, "My daughter's died, my daughter's died." We don't know that daughter's name. We don't even really know the father's name. But that's how they're identified. On your list, did you identify yourself as an illness or as a malady? The good part in our world today is verbiage is important. Sometimes it's difficult, but it is. And nowadays, people are really encouraged not to identify by their malady. I am not Sally who has cancer. I am Sally who is overcoming, because we're not controlled by that. People are also identified by being faithful servants. There's Lazarus, who was Jesus' great friend, and his sisters who had challenges but yet were faithful servants. There's Timothy, who is a faithful servant, and the intrigue with Timothy is we know his mama and his grandma because it is written that they are the ones who taught him and he followed in their servanthood. Did you identify yourself as a servant? You are. You've served many people in your lives. You've taught school, Bible school, Sunday school. You've taught family members how to cook, how to clean, how to be polite, how to set a table, how to make a bed. You've been a servant by praying for people around you. The who of you are a servant. Perhaps you don't always identify and embrace your servanthood, but it's an integral part of who we are as called creations of God. We are all servants of God in some fashion. In Exodus 1:16, it's intriguing to me because we know two midwives' names. Now, throughout the Bible, we don't know people's names. They're called by where they're from or who they are or what happened or where they went. But in Exodus 1:16, they write Shipra and Puah. These are the two midwives who disobeyed Pharaoh, God, because that's who Pharaoh was then, and allowed the Hebrews' women to go ahead and birth successfully and for their children to live. These are the women who saved a nation. We don't see any monuments erected to them. Anyway, in the Gospels, we also read of the astronomers, the wise men who went out on a dare and followed that star to discover a king. When have you, who are you, when do you go out on a dare to discover something that you've been compelled to find? When have you ever went out to find something that you've been told by God to look for? In the Gospels, we read of many. The Bible also tells us that Jesus wanted to know, did his disciples know who he was? And if you'll look in the New Testament, in Matthew 16, he's talking to those disciples who took a dare, left a boat, left a bunch of fish, left their job as tax collectors and started following this man. The who they were brave. Jesus says, who do people say the Son of God is? Who do people say I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, who often answers quickly, says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response was, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. He was identified by his daddy, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by those around you, but by your Father in heaven. Jesus wanted to know, who do you think I am? Who do you think God is? Who do you think Jesus is? Who is Jesus in your everyday life? Who is Jesus leading you to be? Who is Jesus strengthening you to be? That's a hard question to answer sometimes. Who? That owl, who? As creations of God, as believers in Christ, we are commanded to go about in our everyday life preaching, teaching, telling, healing, and leading people to the understanding of who they are in the kingdom of God. So integral in knowing who, helping people to know who they are in the kingdom of God is who we are, and knowing who we are in God's kingdom. So who are you in God's kingdom? Who are you in God's kingdom? Sometimes it could be a role you are, where you are in your belief system, but who are you in God's kingdom? And who are you going to become in God's kingdom? Because we are not stagnant. What happens with stagnant water? It smells. It becomes full of bugs and bad things. We aren't stagnant, so we are continuing to become. So the who now will be who different. All right, Remember those 10 answers? And y'all on Facebook? Please share those 10 answers that you said you were with people sitting by you. And you do the same. Y'all share with each other who you said you are. And y'all on Facebook, why don't you send a response in? Does someone want to tell us one thing of who they are? Who are you?
Teacher.
A teacher?
Helper?
Good looking. Oh, well. It's good to feel good about oneself. Mr. Bogievich, who are you?
Humorous.
Oh, humorous. Thank you, Jack. Who are you?
A cook.
A sister.
A gardener.
Loyal. Child of God.
Loyal.
A wife.
A
leader.
Believer.
I need hearing aids. Mother. Friend.
Grandmother.
Great grandmother. A work in progress. Amen on that one. For all of us. A dog lover. Prayer partner.
Tennis player.
A loving person. We are many things. God has created us different. Thank the Lord, right? We don't want to all be the same. We don't want to all... And in the same family systems, we are different. One sister isn't like the other sister. One son isn't like the other son. We are all created uniquely in God's image.
We are blessed.
We are blessed, Mr. Jack. Thank you so much. So my question to you, as you identify who you are, is who are you going to be? And who are you called to be? We know that we are called to be God's servants. We know that we are called to be active in our world, actively changing our world for the better. We know in the scripture that Jenny read that we are called to be the caretakers of the earth. We know that we are called to be believers reading God's word to know how to grow in the understanding of who we are in God's image as God's creation. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for continuing your pilgrimage of who are you in God's image. Who are you going to be? That's the question. We have several prayer concerns. Certainly the Sigmund family, to continue to pray for Loretta Hinson's family, for Bev Weldy. How is your wife?
About the same.
Okay. Continue to pray for Kay as she is healing and putting up with him. Continue to pray for Steve Gilmore, who is at University Park Skilled Nursing Facility and would appreciate visitors. Continue to pray for Ms. Harper, for Mr. Abernathy, for Jill Griffin, for Joy Hinson? Hilton. I always get that wrong. Joy Hilton, who is doing well. Other prayer concerns? Other people we need to mention? So Ann is moving to Texas, going to a new area with her family, so that's who she is. But if you want to see her or chat with her, do it before Thursday morning.
Where is she going in Texas?
Where in Texas?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think maybe near Dallas.
Near Dallas. God's
good.
I don't know.
She's not thrilled about it. But.
She's going with trepidation. Other concerns? Yes, sir.
A friend of ours is in our neighborhood here in Norfolk. The husband died unexpectedly, very young, 44.
Oh.
And straight from the family.
Tell me their last name.
Shirts.
Pray for the Shirts family, who's lost the 44-year-old husband. Whew. Other prayer concerns or any praise reports? Yes, ma'am. Scott and Jeff, whose family died due to the virus. Anything worthy of praise that you want to mention? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we can bring anything to you. You've told us that. We can plead for loved ones who have passed and those who are left grieving their passing. We can ask for comfort and people to surround us when we've lost someone we've loved. We can ask for guidance and vision on how to go forward. We can ask for healing and wisdom in healthcare providers. We can praise you for victorious surgeries, knowing that we have more treatment to come. We can pray for your guidance in our lives as we continue to discover who you would have us to be in the world around us. Thank you that we are still works in progress. Thank you that you are continuing to bless us and guide us and love us. And thank you for prayers that we can pray together that have been prayed through the centuries. Our Father,
your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So part of who you are is a giver. And this is an opportunity for you to give. Thank you, God, for offerings, money offerings, offerings of smiles, offerings of hugs, offerings of listening ears. Thank you, God, for beautiful music. Amen. Thank you, Josh and Charles. That was wonderful. So, this week, as you go about your week, remember who you are, a creation of God, a servant of God, loved by God, charged by God to make a difference in your world. Amen.
Amen.